Previously on Beer Coasters.
Let's crack it.
Ooh, roasted roastiness.
It's definitely like a bitter sweet.
Yeah, right off the bat, I'm getting...
See how clever we are?
Did you just say each?
Hello.
All right.
Hello.
Welcome
Hello.
Back to the Beer Coasters podcast. Hello. A weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'll be your host this week. I'm Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada, and joining me is...
This is Chris in Dallas, Texas.
And Mike in Boston, Massachusetts.
And today on the show, we're just clowning around. We got a special show today. We're drinking nothing but Clown Shoes Brewing Company out of Ipswich, Massachusetts.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that in our three fermentation conversations.
Yeah, that's how we're gonna throw it down today.
322
three
bitches.
Fermentations.
Throw that.
It down. Yeah.
66 ounces of pure beer goodness.
Oh,
that's a lot of beer.
Fun.
Yes.
And so, with those tasting flights, what are we all trying today? What are the three Clown Shoes beers that we're trying? Mike?
I'm trying Clementine. It is a wit beer made with Clementine oranges, I believe. And coriander.
Oh,
yes,
darling.
Coriander
oh,
as well.
I had to throw that in there.
Looking forward to it.
Sorry, I went out of order. How about you, Chris?
You're
what
out
are you
of
trying?
Order.
This whole I'm damn podcast is out of order.
The Hoppy Feet Black IPA.
Oh.
Whew. Take off your shoes, man. You got some hoppy feet.
You funny guy.
I'm on a roll today.
Oh, there you go.
On a roll.
And we will discuss some more hop topic subjects of the sort of the beer kind today.
And maybe Toby will have a beer to talk about as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying. God.
Yeah, you're on a roll today. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I haven't even started on my 66 ounces. 66 I will be trying ounces. Clown Shoes Brown Angel.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Sexy.
And then, of course, we've got the always entertaining tweet of the week. A little bit
special tweet of the week this week.
We've got a celebrity tweet of the week.
Celebrity
this week.
Tweets.
Cool.
Celebrity tweet. Yeah.
And I don't think we have any backwash. Maybe we'll get some by the end of the show.
With 66 ounces,
oh, yeah, we do.
We're going to have some backwash.
we got a phone call from somebody. Sound like he was in a well ordering, or something.
Or ordering fast food or something.
But we'll
you'll see.
We'll play it and you guys can decipher it on your own.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll have the magic decoder ring on the website at beercoasterspodcast.com.
Yeah, look for it. All over there. Click on everything. See if you can find it.
Sign the guest book. That's a clue. Then submit some backwash. Yeah. That's clue number two.
Yeah. And then we'll give you our pint ratings as well as some other info in last call. Let's get to drinking, fellas. What do you say?
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
It is my turn, but not really my turn, because these guys are going to drink with me.
Yeah.
And first up, we have Clown Shoes Brewery's Clementine. It is their white ale. You'll fix that in post,
sure about
right?
That? We lost you for a second there.
This is from Clown Shoes Brewery, of course.
All sweaty.
Yes, my bottle's sweaty, too. The company itself, I think, is based out of Lexington, Massachusetts, but Mercury Brewing Company out of Ipswich, Massachusetts, does their brewing. It's kind of a contract brewing thing, I believe. I could have this off, but I think I'm right. And we're going to find out as well, because I'm going to be talking to Jesse Dooley. Hopefully you'll get to listen to it on this podcast, but if not, maybe the following week we'll have some time with Jesse Dooley, which is, he's the brand ambassador for Clown Shoes. And Greg Berman is, I believe, the owner. It's kind of Jesse and Greg's company.
Cool.
So this beer is brewed with coriander and clementine orange peel, I believe, right? Sweet orange peels. For yeast, they use a Chambly yeast. For hops, they use Summit. The bottle says 6% ABV, but the website says 5.9% ABV.
We're going with beer. 6.
Rate beer requires a few more ratings. So if you hear this podcast, you get a chance to try this beer, go on Rate Beer and put your 2 cents in and try to give this beer a rating.
Yeah.
Beer Advocate users rate this an A-, and the Allstrom brothers have not weighed in on this beer. Let's crack them.
All right. Already?
Oh, man. Don't pour too aggressively, folks.
All right.
Although the head's dissipating quicker than I would have expected.
Yeah, it is.
Very nice, though.
Yeah, I've got 2 fingers.
Yeah, I got
nice and
2 fingers of white, real fluffy head.
Nice and kind of and a cloudy, dark yellow golden color.
Yes. Yeah. Slightly orange, like an orangish yellow.
Yeah, it is kind of an orangey yellow, cloudy. Like you said, very very nice. I got a big fluffy head, but I poured kind of aggressively. Mine's kind of in a Weizen glass, a big kind of tall glass. I got about 3 fingers a head right now, big fluffy white head.
Smells like a Hefeweizen.
Yeah, I got about 2 fingers. Yeah, it does. Yeah, that wheat is definitely there.
It has that.
I can smell that coriander too.
Yeah, that like, big spicy, little bit of citrus.
Like a Belgian wit or Hefeweizen, you're right.
It's very strong.
I'm getting kind of
lemony
orange.
Lots of the citrus for sure.
I always pick up whenever I'm drinking a Hefeweizen. I always pick up that sassafras or that little bit of root beer. Mm-hmm. The aroma.
Hmm.
Take a sip.
I like the smell. Oh yeah.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Very refreshing.
Yeah, I'm getting actually kind of a good balance between sweet refreshing and bitter. It kind of has a good fresh citrusy flavor.
And it doesn't, it's not real, like a typical, I guess this is where the wit side of it comes in as opposed to a Hefeweizen. Because with the Hefeweizens, you get that real thick mouthfeel and the real sticky tongue. This, it's straight, real clean. It doesn't stick to your tongue.
Yeah, it's very clean.
Makes it very refreshing and goes down easy.
Yes, it's very very drinkable for sure.
It has a nice, like, the orange is there, but it's obvious that it's orange peel. It's got an orange bitterness as opposed to a like an orange sweetness.
It's not as sweet as
orange peel.
As the aroma. Like, with the aroma, I expected the beer to be sweeter. And it doesn't really have that.
Absolutely.
It's got a good
It's bitterness. Considerably bitter than the aroma would lead you to believe, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Bitter is good, people.
Very grassy. I mean, it's just, it tastes very, I don't know, clean, natural, I guess. You know, it makes you think of the outdoors and, you know, fresh cut grass.
Yeah, it's a summer. It's a very,
underneath an orange tree.
It has a very good summer beer.
Yeah.
Summer beer vibe to it. I want to try to pour some of the sediment into the glass here too to see if how much different it gets.
Oh, that means I gotta get towards the bottom of this.
Jeez. That's the plan. Would you guys pair this with anything?
I don't know.
I thought that this would be a good, this is kind of a little different, but a good brunch beer. Like, while everybody else is like sucking down like Bloody Marys and mimosas, you could be drinking one of these.
It's interesting you say that because this has eggs benedict or something. It does have almost a mimosa taste to it. So it's got a little bit of that.
Got some good carbonation.
Yeah, some good carbonation, a little bit of that champagne-iness with the orange. So yeah, absolutely, a brunch would be very good.
But like
by that token, I think it would go good with like a really good eggs Benedict.
That's what I was gonna say when you said brunch and all that. I was thinking,
did you guys not hear my food pairing? That's what I said at the end.
Oh.
I said, yeah, you could drink one of these with your eggs Benedict.
Well, there you go.
You cut out.
There you go.
Wasn't you? It was your
nice. Yeah, absolutely. Right. With the bitterness and a nice lemony hollandaise sauce. Very good.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, there you have it, folks. Clown Shoes, Clementine,
breakfast beer.
Oh, my darling.
From coast to coast. And now it's time to hit the road with Beer Coasters. Coast to coast.
Hi, Beer Coasters. This is Jesse from Clown Shoes. Phoning in a little ditty about Clown Shoes. Sorry, missed you, Mike. Out on the road trying to sell some beer. But in terms of where did Clown Shoes originate from, where was it born, it kind of came about where there were a group of us at Berman's, the liquor store that I originally worked for, wanted to submit an entry to a beer advocate contest to name a beer. The result of that contest wound up being the Wrath of Pecan. And our entry, Clown Shoes, didn't even make the top 10 that was posted. So Greg Berman, the owner of the company, he thought he had a good name. Clown Shoes, I like it. And it just clicked one day that he could make his own Clown Shoes brand. So we reached out to a lot of folks, and Mercury Brewing got back to us. They've been more than accommodating. We just thought we were going to, make a Clown Shoes batch of beer for fun, maybe sell it through the store and have a good time with it. But it started to catch on. People really liked the beer, and now it's, led to about, 10 batches of beer and running all over the state as I am today. But more importantly, a bunch of people, getting together and having fun at work. That's really, the essence of where I came from. But kind of brings a little smile to your face and makes you kind of chuckle a little when somebody says, oh, who are you with? And it's Clown Shoes. it's just funny, and it just kind of lightens it up a little. But I really appreciate you guys trying our beers. Looking forward to seeing how you like them. Again, Mike, thanks for taking the time to meet with me that day and rap a little. But look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you very much. Bye.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
West Coast.
Okay. Well,
beer from the East Coast.
Yeah. So now we are on to Clown Shoes Brown Angel Brown Ale.
Brown Angel,
this
baby.
This is their brown ale offering, coming in at 7% ABV with 40 IBUs. Oh, ingredients nice. That they use are 1,500 pounds of Maris Otter malt.
Whoa.
Aggressive American hops, which are the Amarillo and Columbus hops.
Ooh,
with a
like
nice
Amarillo.
Finish with East Kent Golding hops. Rate Beer gave this an 82 out of 100. Beer Advocate users with a B+. So
no bros?
Nope. Bros have not tried
no
it.
No bros.
Oh, no bros. So, Mike, do you want to throw in any extra information about these guys?
Other than their label,
no, I
is
think,
awesome.
Like I said, I'm gonna try my best to get Jesse to to let us know.
If you'd seen the label, that would have been so much funnier. See if I can pull that
out for us.
Yes, the label is a very 1970s blaxploitation with a winged bikini-clad black woman with clown shoes on.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. This baby is brown.
Very dark brown. Even the highlights are a light brown. I got about a finger of
tan head.
I got almost no finger. I got about a half a finger now, but I had to pour fairly aggressively to get that.
Ooh.
Really? I got a big old head.
Wow.
Like three fingers.
Check out that nose.
But it's like tight bubbles.
I'm convinced that you don't actually tighter pour them, Mike. Like, I think you just dump.
Dumps.
Okay.
Well, with the sound effects.
Sometimes the beer dumps on me, but...
right.
I don't dump.
This has a very interesting aroma.
Huh.
Yeah, it's chocolatey.
Yeah, it's very roasty. Yeah,
I'm getting chocolate.
Oh, but yeah, it's cocoa chocolate goodness.
Yeah, it's like a cocoa powder.
And something's even, a little funky.
Even some maple syrup?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Ooh. Very sweet smelling.
Getting some,
but I get a lot of roastiness toffee, too. Maybe. Yeah, toffee. That's what it is. It's like a
toffee.
Like a roasted sweetness.
Like yeah, a toffee's nutty, a good one.
Toffee.
Yeah, nutty, yeah. Toffee. A Heath bar.
Smells good. Mm. I'll give it that.
Yes, it does.
Does smell very good.
Time to take a sip.
The chocolate was up front, but the I'm getting a little bit of the hops, the citrusy.
It kind of reminds me
hops.
Of the aroma reminds me of the hazelnut from Rogue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's some really nice.
It's a lot to live up to.
There's some really nice roastedness going on in here. A lot of rich,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Roasted nut flavors.
Yeah, it even has that kind of that bitter
like aftertaste.
Peanut,
yeah,
peanut skin.
Yep.
You know, like that real.
Yeah.
That kind of lingers for just a moment. Yep.
I'm getting kind of coffee, like a coffee aftertaste.
Yeah.
Like coffee on the tongue.
Yeah, coffee aftertaste. Wow, this is good.
This is really good.
It's got a nice mouthfeel too. It's got a nice bite on the tip of the tongue.
It's very,
you know, after that coffee goes nutty. Away though. I'm not getting anything at all. It's like kind of pretty dry after the coffee.
Yeah, some good roastiness going on.
Trademark the Beer Coasters podcast.
And it's not too thick either. It smells a lot sweeter than it tastes.
It's got a lot of flavor without having a very heavy body.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, agreed.
Tasty.
My head's just about gone now.
Yeah, me too.
It's good though. I still got some nice little bits of foam kind of layered on top.
Decent lacing going on too.
Mm.
What would you guys pair this with? Because I'm thinking Bananas Foster's for some reason came to mind. Oh,
that's a good one. I think barbecue. I think this would go good with just like old school, like 55-gallon drum, cut in half, charcoal, slapping a rack of ribs on there.
Are you talking a rub or a sauce?
I think a sauce would be fine.
A sweet sauce? I think a sweet sauce might actually work.
I think it would have to be a pretty subtle sauce, and a rub would be good, but it would have to be a not very spicy rub.
Yeah.
Because I don't think this would cut through. Right, because
you want to kind of not too salty or spicy. Yeah.
Some hickory.
Yeah, mild barbecue, which something smoky, I think, would go pretty good.
And finish it with Bananas Foster's for dessert.
There you go.
That's always good.
So, yeah, now that was the Brown Angel brown ale. Oh, and real quick.
Double brown.
Right, double brown. They say this is not your old school brown, but rather a sexy American interpretation.
Nice.
Indeed it is.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Okay, so we put up this question about a week and a half ago now. We asked some people on Facebook. We talked about it on the show. What were your thoughts on craft brewers using large distribution companies like Anheuser-Busch for their distribution? There are some people out there that say they're signing a deal with the devil. It's not a good thing. Some people are saying it's a great thing. So the kind of the reason why we brought it up was last week we tried Goose Island's
Bourbon County.
And Goose Island is
awesome.
Right. Goose Island is part of the Craft Brewers Alliance. Craft Brewers Alliance, which would also include Kona and Red Hook and Widmer Brothers. And they all have signed an agreement with Anheuser-Busch for their major distribution. So we wanted your thoughts. And we actually got a couple of responses on our Facebook wall. Chris, you want to take the first one?
Yeah, the first one comes from James Wayne Pruitt. And he says, if it get the good beer to us, it's a good thing.
I think all of our Hop Topic responses are all under the influence. So we'll have to at least by the sounds of them, as you guys will hear very soon. The next one comes from Danny Full Pint, and he says, I love Kona beers, and Goose Island makes good, two excellent beers. Two. Yeah, we like Kona and Goose Island, too. I don't think that people are... Well, we really wanted people's opinions on what they thought about these smaller breweries using them for distribution, right. And... You know, we haven't talked about the fact of, like, are there any other choices and any of that stuff. So, I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Mike, we were talking about, because one of the upcoming shows, we were thinking about doing Anderson Valley for one of our fermentation conversations. And so you looked up, you know, who distributes to my area because I couldn't find the particular beer that we were thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And Anderson Valley is distributed by Ben E. Keith. Here in Texas. Well, Benny Keith is an AB distributor. So, you know, and it all goes back to what we talked about originally way back when, and the whole three-tiered system and how, first of all, how false that whole concept is, because there's supposed to be a separation between distribution.
There shouldn't be such thing as an AB distributor.
Production.
Right? I mean, am I right? Because, as far as the three-tiered system, there shouldn't be such thing as an AB distributor.
Right. The whole reason it's set up that way is so that you don't have the production companies distributing, you know, but that's exactly what happens. And so, of course, you have those companies taking up the majority of shelf space because, I mean, obviously they want to promote their own product before the other ones that they're distributing, because that's what they make the most money off of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we did get a last minute comment on the website. If you go to the website beercoasterspodcast.com and you click on the Hop Topics section, you can see all the Hop Topics and you can post your comments right there. And this is how we got this one. This one actually comes from Beer Coaster Gina, and she says, I am of the belief that if the beer doesn't change and more people have the chance to try it through better distribution, the method of distribution shouldn't matter. But I had a thought this morning. Does the distributor benefit from increased sales of any brand? And if so, in what respect? Question is, if with the distributor having so much say in shelf space and placement, does the benefit to the distributor for selling these smaller beers outweigh the benefit of the owner of the distribution company selling more of their own beers? Are they truly run as separate business entities? And for what matter does the increased distribution of a few microbrews warrant the continued support of the big three controlling the contents of the beer aisle?
Mm. Well, I mean, to answer one of the questions, you know, does the benefit of distributing smaller beers outweigh the benefit of the owner distributing their own beers? Of course not. I mean, they're going to make more money off of distributing their own stuff because they're going to get more of the profit. You know, if, they, right. if they're distributing a third party, you know, obviously they're taking a distribution cut,
but that's
but they're right. not making yeah, the additional money off of the actual. Right.
It's their way of getting into. Well, but it's their way of getting a piece of the pie that they've been trying to get after, where they're seeing the all these smaller breweries, these craft breweries, growing kind of exponentially, while you know the big three aren't stop growing
them from
so well.
But it's not going to stop them from taking up shelf space because they still make right. more money off of their product, so they still want their product to have more shelf space.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to give up shelf space to another product they're distributing if it means that it's going to take away sales from their largest profit margin product.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
So what is it?
There's still a conflict of interest and a vested interest for them to keep the shelf space in their favor.
Is it the Craft Brewers Alliance that you've seen more of those like sandwich boards and stuff in front of liquor stores and whatnot saying, come see our craft beer selection? Have anybody seen those? I've seen them up here in New England. I don't know if you guys have seen them out there.
I haven't seen them.
But there's more of these like sandwich boards and signs in the windows of come see our craft beer selection. And it's, I think it's a Craft Brewers Alliance that kind of has this, and now you're starting to see more of these little sections of craft beer. Yeah, they're little sections, but at least you're starting to see a separate section for craft beer in the liquor store, and I like that. I just don't know what effect a big distributor would have on that type of thing.
Well, there's also, you know, it also comes down to the shop owner. You know, if you walk into a liquor store, they should have say in what they put on their shelves. I've walked into places in San Diego where you'll have two entire freezers almost dedicated entirely to smaller microbrews and craft beer, and a smaller section of the larger stuff.
It's a double-edged sword, though, because there's that, but they also, you know, first of all, they're in it to make money as well. So it depends on where it's positioned and what product is being sold most readily. But the other side to that is, you know, I'm sure that AB works out with these individual sellers and say, all right, well, we want, you know, X amount of shelf space, you know, or else, I don't know, you know,
they're
big enough to dictate.
A lot of those places, like their coolers themselves, like the beer coolers and whatnot, are all like rented and leased from companies like AB and whatnot. A lot of that stuff is, so they really do have both hands, you know, in basically all aspects of this. And that's why you see, it's like they come in and they want their stuff certain places. They want, you know, they want these particular products in the front of the store in these coolers, and I don't know. It's really kind of a very deep. There's much more going on that I think we have a kind of a grasp on, but
oh yeah, there's so much that we don't know, and I mean that's one of the reasons why we bring up these topics is if anybody has any kind of insight or. You know, you can do so much Googling of this subject and you're only going to find out, you know, so much. But a good way to find out some stuff is the Beer Wars movie. They had a huge thing in that about the three-tiered system the history of it and all that. That's a good way to find out a lot of the current distribution laws and whatnot. But I will say real quick that I am impressed with the supermarkets here in Las Vegas because I found that a lot of them, the front section, like the front half towards the front of the store, is all is the craft beer side.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Well, the back half is where you find all the AB stuff. So I'm not sure how that works, but
yeah. Well, that's kind of a thing for me too. It's like think about it. It's Coca-Cola. Right, like They're going to sell. It doesn't matter where they are, like, in the store. Yeah. These big three, they have, like, a loyal following, so to speak. Like, there's certain people that are going to come in, and they're just going to buy that beer. And I don't think that that's going to change.
This way it'll drag them to the back of the store, and they'll shop more.
Right. It's kind of like how Vegas is designed. It's like you got to go through the casino to get to anywhere else. Like, it's right. I think this whole thing of them kind of dominating shelf space and stuff is kind of silly because people are going to buy this stuff regardless. So, I don't know. It's like give the little guys, you know, some shelf space. You know you're going to sell your product, and they're going to take a piece of your pie whether you like it or not. Because there's, taste is subjective.
You have to be careful there. You have to be careful. You know, you say, you know, people know what they want and they're going to go buy that, you know, it doesn't matter where it is. That may be true for right now, but as time goes on, if your product is hidden from view or less accessible than others, slowly but surely people will try the other things and then you'll start to lose market share.
That's not because of shelf space. You know what I mean? I think people are just they're trying other things because there's so many other things out there. And maybe that's what they're afraid of, that there are so many other little craft breweries.
All more reason for them to keep their shelf space. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
So, yeah. If you want to join in on the Hop Topic, you can check out our website, beercoasterspodcast.com. Click on the Hop Topic section. We might also post it on Facebook. And if you happen to catch it, you can comment there. Or Twitter, either way. So, yeah, thanks to everybody for their input. James Wayne Pruitt, Danny Full Pint, Crazy Dave also said Goose Island uses them.
Yes, which I think we mentioned that, on the show.
And Beer Coaster Gina.
Goose Island was distributed by...
Danny Full Pint, is he the guy that does the fullpint.com?
Yeah, thefullpint.com. He does beer reviews. You can find him on Facebook also, Danny Full Pint.
He's got some cool stuff. Yeah, he's got some good reviews on there.
Cool.
All right.
Cool. Hey, let's do another review ourselves and drink another beer.
Yeah.
There we go.
One more beer to go, guys.
Yeah.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Eat my what?
Yeah. Clown shoes, baby.
Clown shoes, baby. So, for our next tasting flight fermentation conversation for my region, but not quite. Actually, it's an East Coast beer. We're still doing the clown shoes beers. This time we are
clown shoes exclusive. This is only the second one we've ever done. Stonebury was the first. Now clown shoes.
Nice.
This for this one we are doing the Clown Shoes Hoppy Feet Black IPA.
Oh yeah.
Style is a black IPA. ABV of 7.0%. Ingredients uses premium malt with lots of Amarillo and Columbus hops.
Lots.
That's what it says.
Yes. That's awesome. That's like a scientific measurement, pal.
Yeah, lots.
It is.
Well, a lot is how many acres?
So. You know what's weird is... Okay. So the rate beer rating... It's weird because if you look up Clown Shoes Hoppy Feet Black IPA, you get no ratings. But if you look up Mercury Brewing, or no, Clown Shoes Black IPA without the hoppy feet,
yeah,
it comes up, and it has a rate beer rating of 78 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it an A- with nothing from the Alstrom Brothers.
Oh,
you guys ready to crack them?
Yeah,
we're ready.
Let's do that.
I like me some black IPAs.
I know the black IPs.
You do.
I know the black IPAs.
Oh, wah, wah.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, Chris took an early sip.
I had to, man. It was coming over.
Cheating.
Ooh, that's dark.
It's hoppy.
That is dark.
I didn't even pour it that aggressively, and I got all kinds of head.
Yeah, I got a nice tan, really frothy.
Yeah.
About a finger and a half.
Mine's I got about five fingers. So
kind of over the glass.
Or two Yeti fingers.
Yeah. That's right. Don't forget the Yeti fingers.
It's very fluffy and root beer float-like.
Yes.
And not
it actually looks like a root beer to look at it. At all. Like a dark root beer.
It does. It's
there's barely black. Any highlights.
Yeah. It's black, black.
Slightly.
I'm getting lots of that's hops, that grapefruity
darkest
hops.
Darkest IPA I've ever seen.
Grapefruity hops and some more of that chocolatey coffee. This one, I think, more coffee than chocolate. The other one was more.
Yeah, it's like a mocha.
Yeah, there's much more roastedness going on.
And that's saying a lot. One.
Vanilla. Yeah, a little bit of vanilla.
Yeah, there's
smells like
lots of roasted malts.
Like a porter.
It does.
Yeah, it does smell like a porter.
Like a hoppy porter.
Now, the hops, I am picking up a little bit of hops.
But not nearly as much, yeah. It's
I got
it's,
it on the first I get smell, more of but a now piney. That it's kind of, now that the head's starting to settle down, I'm getting, it's a little different.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a piney, almost, yeah, a little of a citrusy hop character on the nose.
I'm going to take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Chris already did.
No, I got a sip of foam. That doesn't really count.
It's,
yeah.
It is kind of porterish.
Very dry.
Very, yeah, very roasted, very, very bitter.
Very roasted. It has that very, yeah, that, what is it in coffee? The tannins that make it that very, like, dry, bitter.
It's got kind of like a charcoal-y taste.
Mm.
A little bit.
Yeah. But you still pick up that, the hops are there. They're very present.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good hop flavor.
It's like a... I want to say it's kind of almost like a... It is kind of like a porter. It's kind of like a hoppy porter.
Yeah. Very dry mouthfeel.
Yeah. Tiny bit of slickness to it on the tongue.
That's crazy. Because it's almost a blend between...
It's almost like someone
IPA
kind of
a porter.
Like,
yeah.
Like blend. Yeah, like blended the beers themselves. Like brewed nice. Two different beers and then kind of blended them together.
Yeah. It's very, very bitter. Like,
yeah.
Really bitter.
Yeah. Because all the roasted maltiness flavor, too, is quite
yeah,
bitter
it's,
as well.
It's not, it's not just a hop bitterness in there. There's a roasted bitterness that's also present.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7%?
There is a tiny bit of sweetness in there. I think if you get, you kind of.
Yeah, there is. It's a chocolatey kind of toffee or caramel marshmallow.
This is
like a burnt marshmallow. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good description. It is kind of like a charcoal-y marshmallow.
Yeah. Very hoppy one. It's like you take a burnt marshmallow and you dipped it in hops.
Nice.
Yes.
And then you dunk that in a cup of coffee. I don't know.
Now there's a midnight snack if I ever heard of one.
I think they're serving that up at the Starbucks.
Right. Speaking of midnight snacks, what would you guys pair this with?
Graham crackers.
Seriously, actually, s'mores would
s'mores,
be a really
yeah.
good pairing with this.
You said that, I was thinking, yeah.
Think so? Would
be absolutely, good. Absolutely. With a nice burnt marshmallow and the bitter chocolate and graham cracker, that would be a very good pairing for this.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how like a graham cracker affects the flavor of this, because it's
kicks ass.
It's interesting.
That's a beer coaster's first.
What's more?
I mean, we've done desserts before, but
not like camping like style desserts.
Yeah,
yeah. Take this with you camping.
This I'm is going great in like a week and I would half, love to so, have this beer at a campsite. It's a
I might
good,
have to take
good sipper.
My extra bottle with me.
Well, you got one.
I know.
Chris got hooked up. Yeah.
As it warms, I'm getting a little tiny bit of like sweetness at the end of the tongue. All right, folks. We got still lots of beer here left, and we got lots of drinking to do.
Gary J. Busey says, I wouldn't mind a case of the Mondays if the Mondays was the name of a beer. It's the treat of the week. Treat of the week. It's the treat of the week. Treat, treat. Treat of the week, yeah. Time for some backwash.
What's up, beer coasters? This is Craig here, and I'm calling from the Wisconsin Beer Fest 2010. Just going to call you in with a quick little rundown of what's going on here. So far, my favorite beers are the Mission Double IPA and the two Firelands Parish Shockers of the style Farmhouse Ale. Pretty good and really kind of bouncy, a little bit of sweet. Good stuff, anyhow. They got some chili here, they got some pops and carnitas and food, and everything's going to have that for humanity. So it's a good cause, and a lot of beer, and I'm going to drink it, so I'm having a good time there, but I'm going to have to go for my car here. Just thought I'd give you guys a call, say what's up. Hope you guys have fun, and I'll drink some local beer. Bye.
What?
All right, everybody. Last call.
So, let's do some pint ratings on our clown shoes today. Chris, hit me with some pint ratings.
Yeah. I'll hit you with some pint ratings. Oh, now?
Yeah.
Sure. So... For our clown shoes beers this evening, the first one being the Clementine, I really, really enjoyed this beer. I thought it was refreshing and light and crisp and bitter in all the right ways. I am going to give the Clementine 4 pints. Very tasty. Liked it. The next one that we tried was the Brown Angel, also from Clown Shoes, and I'm going to give that one 4.5 pints.
Ooh.
Really liked that one. I love the nuttiness of it and the hoppy, like, I don't know, it was like a hoppy nut brown ale. It was really good.
Hoppy nuts.
And then... It was very hoppy nuts. And then for the Hoppy Feet Black IPA, this one I actually wasn't as impressed with as the other ones. It was a little, I don't know, a little too
I'm surprised.
Bitter.
I thought you would like that one.
Yeah.
No, I do like it.
Bold.
I'm giving it 3.5 pints. I do like it. Just not as much as the other ones. I liked the other ones a little bit better, but it was still very good and a very good example of the black IPA style. But 3.5 pints for the Hoppy Feet.
How about you, Mike?
Well, for the Clementine, I give this a 4 as well. I really liked it. It was a good refreshing beer. I like the orange peel because I can't remember the last time I really felt like I tasted a good orange peel in like a a wit beer, or because the Belgian wits usually have more of an orange, where the Hefeweizens are usually have more of a like a lemony and a, or banana and clove and stuff like that. So it was nice to get some real orange out of a Belgian wit. At least, I mean, that's what I'm considering this to be as a Belgian wit. So that's that. For the Brown Angel, I give it a 4 as well. I really enjoyed this beer. It's I really like the malty toffee characters in it, and had a good amount of hops. I like the balance of this one. For the Hoppy Feet, I'm going to give it a... It's tough, because if we're rating to style, and I know there's a little bit of debate about styles between the three of us here, but it's not quite a black IPA to me. It's hoppy, but it's almost like a porter or stout type character to this, which I like, because it's enjoyable. So I'm kind of on the fence on this one. I'm going to give it a 4. I was going to give it a 3.5, but I'm going to give it a 4 because I do like it, and I kind of enjoy the hoppiness, even though it doesn't feel like it's supposed to be there. Although, I just said that was wrong.
I really,
because it's not the hoppiness that's not supposed to be there. It's the really rich, roasty, maltiness that's not supposed to be there. So anyway,
right.
Go ahead. Sorry, Toby.
I enjoyed all three of these very much. I was pleasantly surprised, only because this is somebody I've, you know, a brewery I've never heard of, and very small, you know. I mean, they have what? These are the three beers that they have, right?
All three. We've tried this entire selection here on.
I'll tell you, that's actually one of the things that concerned me about doing this and our pint ratings in general. Sorry to butt in, Toby, but...
No, it's cool.
You know, having Mike being contacted by them and sort of that leading into us doing a show specific to them had me slightly concerned that people would think our judgment would be clouded. And so I almost was wishing that the beers weren't good. I know that sounds strange, but I was almost wishing to have the opportunity to sort of say, no, look, we're being legitimate. Like, even though these people came out and contacted us, we can still be critical. And while I may have been that slightly with the black IPA, even though not totally, I still gave it 3.5 pints. It's I can't, you know, they're a very good brewery that just put out really good beers. Yeah. And so it's hard for, you know, I don't want people to seem like it's clouded. So I almost wanted them to be not good, and they are. So it's
I was kind of hoping also that I have some red ink on this one, but I don't think I can do it. Maybe less is more, you know, focusing on three and really honing in and perfecting these beers, you know, instead of having this huge, you know, menu of all these different styles. Like, oh, well, we have to have a big variety, so let's spread it out, and, you know, that then you thin out, you know, whatever.
They're just like, all right, we're gonna do a white, brown, black.
Period. Yeah, exactly. For now, at least. I mean, that's cool. I dig it, and I'm very pleased with all three of them. The Clementine, I'm a Hefeweizen fan. I love Hefeweizens. I love Belgian wits. This was very different, and it was nice, man. I really enjoyed it, so I'm going to go 4.5
on the
Clementine.
I think it's the most refined out of the three. It feels that way to me.
Refined is a good way to say it. I mean, it does seem like they've... It's funny, because I would assume they're fairly young, and as far as the brewery itself, not the brewers, but... it just seems like, refined is a good way to say it, because it seems like there's a lot of experience that has been put into these beers. The Brown Angel, I would agree that it is a double brown. I mean, I like the forward hoppiness of it. I'm gonna go with 4 on that one as well. And with the Hoppy Feet Black IPA, this is just a style that I think is very cool. I like it. I'm a fan of IPAs. I'm a fan of porters. I think this one melded very well together. I like the roastiness, and I liked the very bitter hoppiness. Yeah, I think, Chris, you're right. It was a little too bitter. If they eased back a little bit on the bitterness and maybe brought up the maltiness a little bit more, I think it would have been better. So I'm actually going to just go with 4. A lowly 4.
A lowly 4. 4 out of 5. For those who haven't listened to the podcast, if this happens to be your first one, it's 4 out of 5, just in case anybody was wondering.
But I'm very impressed with all 3. I've probably said too much. Already 8.5 minutes into the last call.
That's all right.
I'm digging it, man. Clown shoes. I'm a fan.
Me too.
Sweet.
I'm very interested to see what else they come out with.
Yeah. And I'm very interested to see what other brewers decide to give us some beers.
Yeah. Don't let this be an example, though. Don't let this... Oh, hey, those guys really like those. Let's send them our beer. We'll get some good reviews.
No, because we're looking to be able to bash you.
Coasters for hire. We'll see it. Did we mention we're reading off sheets right now from Clown Shoes? No, just kidding. No, these are honest opinions from 3 guys that love beer.
You can check them out at www.clownshoesbeer.com. And also, I wanted to mention real quick again, Danny Full Pint. You can find him on Facebook and thefullpint.com, I believe.
And I just wanted to mention, I just wanted to thank Jesse Dooley for giving us Clown Shoes beer. And, thanks. We definitely appreciate it. And they were all good. pleasantly surprised, I guess we could all say. And, yeah. So anyway, thanks again to Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse.
And you could follow us on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod. We're also on Facebook.
You can also leave us comments, suggestions, tell us about your favorite beer, your favorite bar. You can do that a few different ways, one of which is by emailing us Backwash to backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. Or you can also leave us audio Backwash like Dave did this week. Just try to be a little more coherent and audible.
Yes,
adapt. You can do that at 972.
Step away from the microphone.
972-914-8502.
And check out that website. That website is beercoasterspodcast.com. And subscribe in iTunes. Search for Beer Coasters. You'll find us there.
And check us out on cafepress.com/beercoasterspod if you want any t-shirts or stickers or steins.
Stein is very cool.
cafepress.com/beercoasterspod. And don't forget to tell your friends. And, of course, thank you for listening.
Couple last-minute little shout-outs or whatever have you. Aces and Ales in Las Vegas is having a few different events coming up, one of which being this Sunday performing live is going to be John Karabi of Motley Crue, Union, Rat. He'll be performing at 9 p.m. as part of the official Faster Pussycat / LA Guns after show party. And if you go in there, don't forget to mention Beer Coasters to get your free pint.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
And then local legend John Zito will be kicking off the night in addition to $3.50 Widmer's all night long.
Nice. And they have a strong beer fest coming up. It's August 13th through the 15th. Stay tuned for more details.
Support your local brewery. Drink local. Don't drink and drive.
Cheers, homies.
Cheers.
Clown shoes.
Clown shoes.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
stuff rots your brain. And I'll wait for my new sponsor, Percodan! Ah, crap!
Damn. Oh, yeah, fall down, bust my skull open, have my blood and brains ooze out on the carpet so you can get a couple of cheap laughs, huh? I don't think so. Homie, don't play that.
It was very Hoppy Nuts.